Good morning. So good to see you all here. And it's a blessing to have Janine's cousin, Teresa, with us. We love Teresa. She, I tell you, sweet, sweet person. And we're also glad to have Billy and Brandy's family and friends with us today. So glad that you all are here. And I am just tickled because the other day, or I text Bob the other day. I said, Bob, how'd the doctor visit go? And are you going to get to come to church? And he said, yes, I'll be there. Can't wait to see. And I was ready to have church right there in the living room of the house when I heard that. So, because as you know, 2 weeks ago, Bob had hip surgery. And normally some folks are down for a little while and they can't really get out. Bob's been up and about moving. And actually, the day of his surgery, I went to see him that night at Heron Hospital. And Bob said, I've already been up walking. And he said, it doesn't hardly hurt. I said, that's great. So, see, when the Lord touches you, He can do anything. And I tell you what, I've told Janine, I'm excited to preach this message today. The power of Jesus. And if there's one thing I want you to get out of it, don't listen to me. I want you to listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart today. Because see, if any words come out of me, they're not going to build you up. They're not going to help you learn and grow. But what you hear from the Lord through the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you what, it's going to hit your heart in a powerful way. And it's going to change your very life. And what you once were, you're going to be totally different once the Lord gets a hold of you. And what I like to say is sometimes He has to shake us out of our boots. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people who need some shaking. How about it? This guy here too needs some shaking out of his boots at times for sure. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 6. Verses 6 through 19, and I'd like to ask those of you who can, if you're able to stand, if you're not able, you may be seated, but the rest of you, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. On another Sabbath, He entered the synagogue and was teaching. A man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The scribes and Pharisees were watching Him closely to see if He would heal on the Sabbath, so that they could find a charge against Him. But He knew their thoughts and told the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand here." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" After looking around at them all, He told him, "Stretch out your hand." He did, and his hand was restored. They, however, were filled with rage and started discussing with one another what they might do to Jesus. During those days, He went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. When daylight came, He summoned His disciples, and He chose 12 of them, whom He also named apostles: Simon, whom He also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And after coming down with them, He stood on a level place with a large crowd of His disciples and a great number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. And those tormented by unclean spirits were made well. The whole crowd was trying to touch Him, because power was coming out from Him and healing them all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Father, right now at this time, dear God, We're asking you, Lord, to release your power into us today. And Father, there's power in your word. There's power in the touch of your hand. And God, I'm asking this morning, Father, for each and every one of us that's here, that Lord, you would release your power into us, that Father, we would not live by our own terms, by how we see things, but God, that we would look to you, and Father, that you would turn our hearts completely around, dear God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, if there's someone here that needs to be saved, let them get saved today. And Father, if there's anyone here that needs to join the church or be baptized, then Father, let them come forward today. And now as I preach this message, Lord, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit, nothing from my flesh or my own words. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And you may be seated. There was a power and is a power to the very life of Jesus that had affected every person that he ever encountered and every situation that he ever faced. The power that flowed from him came from God the Father, and it was released into people in this world through Jesus Christ. There are so many testimonies coming from the Bible where Jesus performed many miracles. Jesus opened up blind eyes. Jesus cast out unclean spirits. He opened deaf ears. He delivered those who were living an evil life. He made lepers cleansed to where their bodies were completely healed and restored. And there is a power that comes only from God the Father. And I want to tell you, there's been so many things that God has done to show His power. And even to this very day, God continues to show His power in many ways. And before I get into the scripture here and into the message, I want to tell you about God's power that's been at work here at Boscadel Baptist Church. When I first came here a couple of years ago, there was about maybe 7 people, if I'm guessing, or 15 maybe. Okay, about 15 or so. So my numbers get off sometimes. But about 15 or so people, and I want you to know this. God has been building up this church body. God has been working. And by God's power, we want everything done under His direction and His authority. And I remember the day when Billy and Brandy walked into this church with Piper and Thomas, and I knew that God brought them here for a reason, and today Billy and Brandy are getting baptized, and so is Mary. So see, God's power is at work right here in this church. It has been for many years, and I want to say this. I publicly declare before you in the presence of the Lord that Boscadel Baptist Church, as long as we're on the face of this earth, it will continue to be a power-filled lighthouse to everybody that sees it and everyone who ever enters its doors. My first point that I want to bring out this morning was that the power of Jesus, it would bring out the hatred in some people. Now, the Bible talked about the scribes and the Pharisees. Scribes, they were scholars and legal experts who were responsible for copying, interpreting, and teaching the law, which is also known as the Torah. And Pharisees, now listen to this, the Pharisees were a religious movement. So keep that in mind. They were a religious movement known for their strict adherence to the law, including oral traditions and their emphasis on applying these laws to daily life. And back in that day, the scribes and the Pharisees, that's how they lived. They lived by their own pretense. These were very prideful people. They had come up with the law. They had come up with their own ways, and that's what they lived by. They were so blinded by the devil that they couldn't see the good things of God. They didn't know the law of the Lord. And I want to point this out. There are a lot of Christian people today that are living like scribes and Pharisees. And I want to say this because there's a lot of people today who are living by religion. There are a lot of people who are living by their own laws, by their own understandings, and you're seeing it happen in churches today because churches are now starting to adopt the ways of the world. They have taken God's word and they have mixed it up and they have scrambled it. They have made it dirty in their own eyes. They are in sin and they are putting this out before the world and people are starting to accept it. And I guarantee you this, if Jesus was to step foot in some of these churches today, and if Jesus was to speak his law, I guarantee you there'd be a lot of angry people who would turn against him. What happened that day in the temple, there was a man with a withered hand. He had a problem. But the scribes and the Pharisees, the Bible says, they were watching him to see if Jesus was going to break their law. Now, I want you to understand this. Jesus' law, it trumps everything that man ever comes up with. That's why I've always preached for the longest time, I don't live by religion. I don't live by man's laws in the church. I live by the laws that were handed down, by the commandments of God the Father. Because when you and I pass from this life, we will stand before the Lord God and you and I will give an account for how we've lived, how we've conducted ourselves, and what standards we lived by. You and I, as Christian people, should be living by the Holy Word of God. And I tell you what, there are some good people in church who do live by the commandments, who love, and I guarantee you that there's some people who don't abide by religion, and it angers people in churches who are living by their own means. And I always say this too, that's a form of pride. That's ignorance. When you're living by religion, because get this, religion was developed by man. It was. When Jesus was on the face of this earth, he wasn't standing down here categorizing Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostals and Apostolics and Free Will Baptist or Presbyterians. And he sure wasn't doing Free Will Baptist or Northern Baptist or anything else like that. That's not what Jesus' work was all about. In Antioch, if you read about it, the people in Antioch, they were first called Christians. Do you know what Christian means? What it stands for? Christ-like. When you are a child of God and you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then you have become Christ-like. You're not saved into a religion. You are saved and blood-bought into the family of God, and God expects every single one of us to live by his standards. There's no other way to live but by Jesus Christ and his will and his law and his authority. And I know this from experience. I've been in the ministry now 37 years. And I'll tell you this, and I've said it before, I've gone into some churches as a pastor, and I've had people come to me and say, now, this is how we do things, and we expect you to abide by it. And I say, well, I'll tell you what, you're going to have a hard time on your hands, because I'm not abiding by what you're putting down in front of me. Well, now our church rules and regulations are this, and we expect you to live by them and conduct yourself by them. And what we say goes. Well, that ain't how it happens, folks. We, as Christian people, are gathered here in the body of Christ. We are to serve together. And there's going to be some people that will anger, but I want you to know we've got to love those people. Jesus stood before the scribes and the Pharisees, and I guarantee you, he was probably standing there going, oh, here we go again, you know, because Jesus has dealt with these people. But Jesus, though, had love for these people. Jesus did not despise them. He didn't persecute them. He didn't call them names. But he stood there, the Bible says, he was watching them as they were watching him. See, they were trying to find a way to hold Jesus and make him guilty so they could punish him. How many times do you see that happening in churches today? We see people going through a difficult time. It may not be a withered hand. It may be a drug problem. It may have been a divorce. It may have been a sickness. It may have been something else going on. But how many times do we see people in the church acting like scribes and Pharisees, and they're looking at the person who's sick and they're casting down judgment on them? Well, I wonder what happened in their house. I wonder what happened that made them like to be like this. Instead of handing down love to people, instead of getting into people's hearts and praying for them and showing them the kind of love that Christ did, people want to throw judgment at one another. And what happens when you have a judgmental church? You've heard it happening, and I'm telling you what, it happens in churches all around this entire world. There's always a split. There's always a split. It's time here at Boscadel Baptist Church, because I know I've been told that there's been a split here before, and I want to tell you this, I ain't concerned about that's in the past. We're here today. We're going to go forward. We don't need to have a split at Boscadel Baptist Church. We need a church body that is rooted in the Word, that has got hearts full of love, that doesn't have a judgmental attitude. And I tell you this, there's a lot of people that get ministered to when something happens in this area. And I've seen it with my own eyes here. I've seen it in the eyes and the hearts of the ladies who come here and clean this church and get things ready for events, and even love like Darwin has in his heart, that Darwin would come here for 3 days and get the baptistry ready when there is a problem. I'm telling you, that is God at work in people's lives. And as at Boscadel Baptist Church, that's what we need. We need to continue to grow. We don't need to be saying to people we don't need people getting mad and then telling them, well, don't let the door hit you on the way out. That's not what we're here for. We're here to love. We are here to grow. We're here to get the Word of Christ out to so many people who need to hear it. And we don't know it. Sometimes because you go into church, it doesn't mean that everybody's saved. You know that? I used to walk into churches, have people come up to me, and they're just so nice. And I'd go home, and I would think, I'd say, boy, that was a wonderful Christian person I just met. Boy, I'll bet they served the Lord. And then find out later, they wasn't even saved. Somebody come up to me and said, Brother Jim, I don't know Jesus. I need to get saved. And I was really shocked. But we don't need to be concerned with religion. Because religion says do it our way. And here's where religions go wrong. Religions tell you, you have to follow their way to get to heaven. I'm telling you right now, Jesus said that no man comes to the Father but by me. You're not going to get into heaven by somebody's religious law. You're not going to get to heaven by following the church's laws. You're not going to get to heaven by someone else's complete understanding of how they see things. All you have to do is come before the Lord, and you have to give your heart to Jesus Christ and believe on Him in your heart, confess with your mouth that He is the Son of God, and you will be saved. You don't have to go through a 6-week course to get saved. And I want to tell you this. A lot of people think that if they get baptized, they're going to heaven without getting saved. Well, that don't work either. That's why I'm telling you, there's a lot of misconceptions going around right now. And what we need to see right here in Southern Illinois, what we need to see at Boscadel Baptist Church, we need to see God's power at work. We don't need to come to church and take naps. We don't need to come to church and wonder about what we're going to do after we get out of here. Well, I wonder how long he's going to preach this morning. I want to share this. I went to this little church. I ain't going to say where, but my friend, Brother Jeff, asked me to go and fill in for him one Sunday morning. I got in the pulpit, hadn't even got ready to read the scripture, and a woman's hand went up in the back of the church. And she said, "Brother Jim, could I ask a question?" I said, "Well, sure." She said, and did like this, "I wonder how long you're going to preach this morning." I said, "Well, why? Do you want to know?" Well, she says, "I put a pot roast on this morning." And she said, "I want to make sure that we're going to get out of here in time, because when I have my guests come over, I don't want to be serving a dry roast." And I said, "Well, I shouldn't preach no longer than an hour and a half this morning." Well, that just kind of, I think that killed the question right there. But what I'm saying is we need to have the power of God at work in our lives. See, power comes down. When you were a sinner, you remember that you had a condition. Like I said, it wasn't a withered hand, but it was something. And when Jesus spoke to that man, he said, "Stretch out your hand." And his hand was transformed. He was healed. And when Jesus touched your heart and life, I want you to think about that moment, that day, where you were at, what you were doing, and I want you to think about what happened when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because you know what should have fallen off of you? Shame, guilt, ridicule, judgment, hate. All these things should have fallen off of you, because the Bible says that when we become new creatures in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. And if everything is made new, then we are to live in it. It doesn't take a praise band in a church to make you worship the Lord. And it doesn't take a certain looking building to draw you in. Well, you know what brings you to church? God in your life. You're not here to impress anybody else, or you shouldn't be. Now, I remember as a kid, I'd get new clothes. I couldn't wait to get to church and show off my new suit when I was a kid. It wasn't pride, it was just a kid thing. Because I used to like to hear, "Boy, you sure look sharp today." And everybody in here could attest to that. But when we come in here, when you come into God's house to worship, I want you to know this, that you come in, you're already prepared. It's not somebody, it ain't the songs, and it ain't nobody leading or what's going on or how the building looks. It's what's in your heart that prepares you to worship. And God should be in your heart and life. And if He is, then you should enter His presence 7 days a week, not just church, and you should be raising your hand if you raise your hand. And that's the other, that'd be another sermon another time. Because some folks say, "Don't raise your hand in church. Boy, the roof will fall in." I want to tell you this. I don't know who told you not to raise your hand, but when I'm praising God, if I'm singing, if I want my hand to go up, I will. Because I praise God. When I praise the, and I'm not trying to make anybody a certain religion now, So don't go out of here today saying, well, golly, Brother Jim was trying to make us Pentecostal or something. I'm not doing that. I went to the Pentecostal church for a lot of years and Church of God. So I always, what's it? Some preachers say I'm Baptist-costal because then I went to the Baptist church for a long time. No, I'm blood bought. I'm saved by the Lord Jesus. And that's what my life is all about. Now, I had another whole point, but I ain't even going to get into it. If I do, we'll be here another 15, 20 minutes. I don't want to do that. But I want you to know this. God's power can change anything. Circumstances. My wife and I have prayed for people before, and we've seen God answer prayers. And I'm not trying to put my wife on the spot, but she's a prayer warrior. She is. And we pray together. And I tell you what, when I pray, I want to shake the foundations of heaven. I don't know about you. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is really moving this morning and wants us, he who has ears, let him hear. And don't let it go in one side and fall out the other. You need a channel for it to go in this ear and hit your heart, and you need to let it fester there. You notice I'm not pointing a finger that way. I'm pointing a finger right here because I'm not perfect. Billy, you're not perfect either, are you? See, Billy's not either. Cheyenne, you're not perfect either, are you? See? Well, hey, we're all on the same level. We all are created in God's likeness. And here at this church, I want us to continue to love and grow and reach out and do things. And we'll get this baptistry fixed, I guarantee you that. We'll get it fixed. And Boscadel Baptist Church, this ain't the only baptism we're going to be having. I told you a couple years ago we was going to start having baptisms, and we got our first three this morning, praise God. Yes. Praise God for that.